What do vampires really want? Trunk space. It's GRD's Weekly.
There's junk in that trunk.
You know, baby got back. And trust me, glowing little things appreciated. Hi, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We are GRD's Weekly episode
255.
Did you both get it right?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Nice.
It's amazing. I need an angels singing kind of drop. That's ridiculous. Well, the folks bringing the tea today, the lady that's getting, it's the Flintstress.
Okay, sweetie, this started out fun, but I'm over it.
Really? Come on.
No.
The guy that feels a little persecuted sometimes, it's Saucy.
Oh, man, why are people going to ride on me today? God damn it.
Look, it's not that
Don't
big a deal.
Don't forget your towel.
A special guest tonight, the gentleman that knows how to deal with anyone, anytime, any place, actor, ballerina, writer, Mr. Bill Bloom.
Hello.
Brutally. If that's what you want to do. And hello, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn. What have you been doing, geeky, yo?
Oh, not all that much lately since
we've been doing
a show.
Were you surprised that I was actually going to you first, like we always do every episode?
Oh, that's right. Geek Radio Daily. That's how it works.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So actually, it's funny because you guys have both had Splatoon in your geeky weeks at some point.
That's true.
I finally played Splatoon.
Really?
Splatoon. I did. Splatoon. It's funner to say that. More fun to say. I can't believe I even said that.
I can't.
It is more fun.
Give a beer in your hand.
It is more fun.
And you do hang out with me often.
That's true.
It's very fun to play Splatoon.
Okay.
I was very terrible at it at first. And this is the one where it's like Halo meets Mario Sunshine. Have you seen this?
It's about the best way to describe
it. No,
I
have definitely not seen
this. Splatting paint all over the place. It's a Nintendo game. And it's all these like bright colors and these squid kids. And they're shooting paint all over the place. And the one who has the most paint coverage wins. I don't know. It's really, really fun.
You win for getting plastered. Oh, wait, actually, that does answer its own question, doesn't it?
It's a 4-on-4 squad third-person shooter that is actually done with paint. So you can't shoot the other people, but the actual goal of the game is to cover as much of the
territory
board with your paint as possible.
It's like Capture the Flag also, sort of. There's a Capture the Flag mode.
Well, once you get high enough to be able to play, yeah.
But I just played the story mode. I actually did go into a challenge game at first with other people because that's all I'd ever seen you guys play. So I kind of thought that was all you had to do. So I'm level one and I'm in there with all these other people and all I just keep getting splatted. Or I got stuck in a corner and I couldn't figure out how to get out of it.
You turn left.
Well, yeah. I couldn't figure out how to get out of it. But then eventually I did. And then I found the story mode and started playing and got better at it. You definitely have to go through and play the tutorial and like build up your skills and play by yourself. Because that was the thing. I was like, I want to play where no one's like dependent on me, where I don't have teammates. So I could just like suck all by myself in this corner for a while. That didn't sound good.
Nope.
Out of context.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah. Okay. So Splatoon. It's very fun.
Splatoon.
So you're officially going to call it Splatoon. Okay.
Splatoon.
You're still saying it weird.
Okay. It's not Cheerios.
No, it's not. Oh, damn. Damn.
We also watched an episode of Outlander on Starz. Have you heard of this one, Outlander? Outlander?
Oh, yes. I'm very familiar with that one.
So we're behind on Outlander, but we watched like episode 10 or something, 11. I don't know. But
one of the double-digit ones, early double-digit ones.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't understand when like smart people do stupid things.
And like, example?
Well, when Claire goes to visit this is the one where like the redheaded witch who is sort of a witch and poisons her husband, and then she goes like running to her friend, like even though everyone said don't do it, she just goes and does it anyway. I don't care what you say. I'm gonna go to my friend and then I'm gonna get arrested, and it's just dumb.
Now you sounded, I couldn't quite tell, but I think you had a bad association with Outlander there, Bill.
Yeah, all I can say is I've seen it win awards in fantasy categories. And while I grant you it's fantasy, I mean, let's be honest, it's clearly romance. It's romance.
It is. I think I thought it was more fantasy than it was. And so I think I sort of snuck it on you. Outlander.
Okay.
Ooh, let's watch this. It's like historical and whatnot.
Yeah.
I will say, unfortunately, like with my wife, she's more into Rome. Even though it's canceled, we still have the DVD set. And let me tell you, she digs her some Titus Bulow and Lucius Verinus. No, actually, Mark Antony is her boy, though.
Okay, I'll add Rome to the list.
Trust me. It's actually very educational, guys. There's some good tips in there. Just saying.
Some good just the tips are in there. There you go.
Oh.
What?
That too, actually.
See, I didn't lie.
Anyway, we also watched, and only two episodes of this are out yet, also on Starz, starring the man, the myth, the legend, Patrick Stewart, Blunt Talk.
Blunt Talk.
Oh, I've got to see that. I haven't seen it.
Oh, this is his best work.
Good.
I kind of think ever.
Ever.
Definitely since Jeffrey. maybe ever. He is just all over the place. I'd love to party with Patrick Stewart.
Right?
Like, for real.
His character on the show.
Yeah. Okay. And I know that him in real life is not crazy like his character on the show, but the fact that he can pull off this character means that he has to be fun. I mean, him and Ian McKellen, like, go palling around and, like, doing stuff.
Right.
So I would just love to hang out with the two of them. It would just be, like, so much fun. But, yeah, Blunt Talk, you definitely need to check that out.
It is quite funny.
It is terrible and raunchy and naked everywhere, and it's just
there is nudity.
Not good naked, some good naked, mostly not good naked, but yeah, it's definitely very funny.
And someone apparently has a glorious otherworldly penis, so there you go.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
We also finished season 2 of Orphan Black.
We did.
Did we finish this before last week or no?
No, I think we talked about it last week too.
Yeah, but we finally finished season 2 of Orphan Black. So now we have to find season 3. And yeah, Orphan Black. I don't see how the actress playing all of the clones has not won every award humanly possible, because she is phenomenal. And the fact that she's playing all of those characters in the show is just ridiculous.
She finally got nominated. It's amazing it took this long. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's because of like sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Yeah.
Science fiction. It's not real stuff. She's only playing completely different characters. We didn't give an award to Eddie Murphy for that.
What astounds me is she plays the other characters pretending to be one of her other characters. And she makes it work.
Yeah. It was awesome in this one of the most recent episodes when Allison is in rehab and Sarah is pretending to be Allison, and her like Allison impersonation. It's pretty great.
Very funny.
Just in general. And Helena is like one of the best characters on all of television. Right? She's just ridiculously funny.
How she never got to have a crossover episode on Hannibal, I'll never know.
Right?
That would have been so fun.
It would be fun.
Well, and I've also been like fully back to work, so I've been doing a lot of trainings and, you know, Google Drive and doing stuff on the computer and all kinds of fancy technology and yeah. But other than that, really, honestly, we haven't done that much. It's been my geekiest week.
Really?
Well, I'm sure I left out some huge things. So that's so that someone else can have a turn.
Saucy, what you got?
Well, we covered Amazon Underground earlier in the weekly show.
Yes,
and
we did.
I wasn't for sure what I thought about it.
But now you know that it's awesome?
But now it's one of the greatest things ever. It's an Amazon app that gives you games that are completely free to play.
Well, it gives you apps. They're not just games, but all kinds of apps. Right. But yes.
It's mostly games, though. But
there are some Office, you know, productivity, blah, blah, blah.
But no, they have the DuckTales Remastered.
Woo.
And I played the intro to that, and it's pretty sweet. But I've been playing Age of Sparta, which is a brand new game. It's like a world builder where you fight other worlds that other players have created. And like I got in on like the beginnings of the games. It was just created. So I am a powerhouse in the game. I've never been a powerhouse in anything I've ever done before.
This is crazy.
And what is your ranking in the nation?
It went down. It's 12 now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but out of everybody in the whole United States, you're the 12th best player
at this game.
And what
is your ranking in the world?
25th.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
And I've only been playing for 2 days.
So you need to keep
3 days.
And you need to like play a lot so that way you can maintain it.
The only thing I don't like about it is like right now, I have coins ready.
Right.
Nothing's getting my coins.
It's a shame.
It's terrible.
Now did you remind me?
You have nothing to spend it on?
Well, no, I can't collect coins. There is nothing in the game that collects your coins while you're away.
Oh.
So they just
You don't have a business running on its own.
Right. Mm. Right. Other than that, we did watch Blunt Talk. That was pretty awesome. Watching a couple Westerns still. Watched Waterhole Number 3 with Paul Newman. Great film. Fantastic film. Also, I restarted Skyrim.
Of course finally. You did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm at level 6. I've got to be at level 10 to do all the DLC stuff.
You've played pretty much everything you can play. Are you really going to play all of Skyrim?
No. I'm going to go back and do the missions that I didn't get to do because I decided to go with this fraction instead of that fraction.
He's going to play the dark side this time.
Just because
I
want to...
Oh, you're going
to be a Sith? I did go with magic this time, actually.
Will you have get-togethers?
I've got to do the Dawnguard missions, and I have to do some... Leave me alone. I love the game. God.
You're allowed to love the game. You're allowed to.
I'm being persecuted.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You say so.
But that's it. That's pretty much what I've done.
Really?
Geeky.
That's everything?
Yeah.
Okay. What you got, Bill? What you been doing lately?
Oh, God. Geek-wise, it's pretty limited. At this point, the most adventurous thing I've done is try to watch the Sword Art Online movie. I'm only like 30 minutes into it, I'm going, can we get past the rehash of the series and actually get to the plot?
No, we have to build the drama.
Oh my God.
Part of the drama is making you wait.
Yeah, as I say, I love the first 12 episodes of that series.
Is it good?
Loved it. I loved
Sword. I've always wanted to start it, but I haven't.
The first 12 were fantastic. The other 12, I think the 12 episodes that come after it, I might be getting the totals wrong, but basically the first half is great. The second half of the series, I hated. I felt they took one of the best characters in there and they turned her into rescue bait. I hate that. Don't like the rescue bait.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen this. What is this?
Sword Art Online, it's great. It's this multiplayer game idea. And the concept is this guy who creates the game, it launches, it's this massive hit. And what's happening is all the people who are buying to get into the game, it is something where you actually put on this helmet and you essentially transfer your consciousness into the game. Well, you play the game and the game launches, people log in. There's like 5,000 people in there, I think, maybe 10. Point being, though, all of a sudden, everyone tries to log out of the game and realizes there's no logout button.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, yeah, this isn't a defect. I'm a jerk, and I've decided I'm going to let all of you play the game. And if you die in the game, you die for real.
Nice.
And okay. If someone takes off the helmet that puts you in the game in the real world, you're dead then, too.
It's an anime, right?
So, yeah, it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's like the gamer. Like, you've seen Gamer, right?
I did see
it's
Gamer.
It's that, but anime version, but much better from what I
I was going to say, it was one of the first times I've seen one of those things where they had the, you know, the virtual reality kind of thing. Actually, it works. Yeah. It totally works.
Better than VR5?
I don't know.
Okay, good. Somewhere out there, somebody's brain just went, boing, boing, boing. So.
Yeah.
But totally works.
Billy Flynn's references are for like one guy.
For the three people that get it.
Yep.
For the three people that get it.
But they're very happy three people.
There you are. Three, it's a magic number.
It is a lucky number. Been reading. I've got the James Webb Writers Conference coming up, and so I'm having to do a bunch of reading to prep for my panels. And let me tell you, one of my favorite things was I got to move Ellen O to the top of my reading list. Read her book, Prophecy. Oh, man, that book hits some serious butt.
Yeah.
Demon hunting girl in a Korean mythological inspired setting. It's awesome. Wow.
That's got everything you love right there. Why are you not downloading it right now?
I know. I'm looking into it right now.
It's great. I tell you what, there's nothing better than when you get assigned a speaker whose books you want to read. They're on your to-be-read list, and suddenly you get to boost that to the top of your reading list.
It's not homework if you want to do it.
Right. But yeah, I'm loving that book. It's going to be, and it's just, you know, a lot of fun. Probably the weirdest thing reading wise for me in the past 2 weeks was I went to the beach with my wife and kids, and sitting on the beach with my wife, we're reading books. I'm sitting there reading Claiming Georgia Tate by G.G. Emeto, which is this book. Well, let's just say it's very literary. It's great. It's incredibly well written.
Stereotypical beach book.
Yeah, but not for a guy. My wife, on the other hand, is sitting next to me on the beach. She is reading Gates of Fire, which is essentially a book about Thermopylae.
Wow.
She's the one reading about the Greek Spartans kicking butt. I'm the one reading the Southern Lit.
That's all right. You know, you're a sensitive post-90s.
So you went to the beach to read?
No, I got burned.
Because you got so into the book.
Because you read at the beach.
Oh, yeah. Spent most of the time reading.
Forgot to roll over just looking. Oh, I'm so into the story.
Oh, yeah. I went out there. In fact, I came away speckled on the chest. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, nice. It turned out really well with the sunblock. Not so great. Yeah. So, yeah, there was a t-shirt worn for the rest of the week. The funny thing is, my wife and I spent more time on the beach than the kids. They stayed up at the beach house for most of it.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's where all the crazy adventures happen with the gang.
Do any surf fishing?
I didn't run into any sharks. That's the good news.
So
no,
didn't do. Okay,
I did body surf a little. I did get on the boogie board a little bit. I did get on the boogie board a little bit.
That's not fishing.
Caught some good waves. I was happy.
Sorry, you know, shark surfing thing. It's fine. Sharks are in the water. He's surfing. That's fine. Running with the sharks.
Shark bait. Ooh ah.
So what did we forget on our geeky sweets? I've been waiting with bated breath.
Okay, well,
apple flavored breath.
Okay. So, because people have been nice enough over the past, I don't know, 6 months or so to randomly give me stuff that they got out of their loot crate.
Oh, yeah.
I decided it was time to see how cool is loot crate exactly. So, for the month of August, the villains theme finally, that one came in. And I gotta say, I was not as impressed as I wanted to be.
I was underwhelmed.
Just a little bit, because there was not the one cool thing. Like, you know, someone from like last month gave me the Batman keychain. It's made of metal. It looks like a Batarang. It's a bottle opener. And on the tips of both wings is a screwdriver, Phillips, and flathead. That's awesome.
I would say always choose Batman.
Exactly.
See, the thing is, though, Loot Crate and those types of places should always be thinking that every box is somebody's first box. And there should always be at least something in there.
There should be
like,
that one
whoa,
thing.
Whoa, wow. And I guess it's like they don't know you that well yet. Like, they don't know. But like, okay, if they know it's going to be your first box and there's a Venom and a Carnage, you should get the Venom. You know
Carnage
what I mean?
Carnage is kind of cool.
I don't know. But I mean,
what about for that one person who would rather have Carnage?
Yeah, what about
See,
that?
See, it's such a large demographic that you can't play to everybody. And it's Loot Crate is basically for the three people that get it.
See, there you go. You finally found a way to make that understandable.
Yep.
Good job. But no, it had some cool stuff in there.
No, and
I'm
going to
be wearing the Los Polos
Hermanos, yeah.
The apron from...
Hermanos is Los Polos.
From Breaking
I thought it was
Bad,
the Chicken Brothers.
The wonderful place.
Los Polos Hermanos.
I don't care.
Yeah.
He's playing Skyrim. Leave him alone.
But no, I mean, I think you'll get some cool stuff. The Joker figure was pretty cool.
Joker figure was pretty cool.
Yeah. With the interchangeable heads.
Yes.
Hee-hee or ha-ha.
Yeah. If you want the hee-hee Joker, the ha-ha Joker. It's a completely
you
different
just
experience.
Switch out the head. All
so,
right.
Either way, he's hilarious.
So I'm still going to try next month. Next month's theme is Summon, so there's going to be something Pokemon related, probably something Magic the Gathering, and for some reason I see Homer Simpson in their silhouette, so I don't understand what that means.
Okay.
But I guess we'll find out.
Don't.
I've also been playing Splatoon, especially since yesterday for 24 hours they were doing a Splatfest where everyone had to pick a team, Autobots or Decepticons.
I did see that advertisement when I was playing.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you got a special t-shirt, one that was the Autobot logo or the Decepticon logo that you got to play. And for 24 hours, everybody was playing on Team Autobot and Team Decepticon. It's a weird thing they do. And afterwards, they...
brought to you by Transformers, well, the movie or whatever coming out.
Maybe there's a new animated series because...
Yeah.
I don't know about
I
a
mean,
movie.
It's definitely a brand promotion.
Well, sometimes they do this with the Splatfest. Like last time it was, which would you rather roast, a hot dog or a marshmallow? So you had to pick Team Hot Dog or Team Marshmallow. This is the first one I've known that's been like
a
an
brand.
Actual
okay.
something.
Maybe that's all right.
But it's weird. So at the end of it, when they announce who won, they show you which side had more people... go to their side, then which side won more, and then they somehow take an aggregate of that to figure out who won the whole thing.
So what?
Goddamn Decepticons won.
Oh!
You weren't on there, were you?
No, of course not. I'm a good guy. Thank you. The Legend of K came in from Gamefly. This was a game that was on the previous Nintendo system back in 2005. This is the anniversary edition of it. It's your standard like low-rent Zelda action-adventure thing, and if you were a fan of the first one, you'll love this one, but... moved a little too slow for me. Just a little too slow. Let's see. Here's something that Saucy left out. We watched They Call Me Mr. Tibbs.
Oh, we sure did.
We sure did. We sure did. Yeah, the often forgotten
dang darn we sure
follow-up
did.
To In the Heat of the Night. Sidney Poitier once again playing Virgil Tibbs. This time you got, what's his name? I can see his face. Played Bela Lugosi and Ed Wood. Come on. He was in Mission Impossible, the series.
Oh.
Dear God, I can't think of the man's name, but I can see him. But he's in there as well. And this... What did you think of this one, having no idea of any of this until a couple of months ago when I had you watching The Heat of the Night?
I had already seen the movie In the Heat of the Night, and I had already seen the show. I grew up watching those.
You grew up watching the show. Pretty sure we talked about you had not seen the movie when you and I watched the movie.
I think that I had seen the movie like I used to watch movies.
Oh, 10 minutes
here? Pieces and parts
here
and there.
Jerk.
But I like the show much better.
You did used to do that.
I love the show. The show to me is great. Like, I mean, it's got Archie Bunker. It's got, I can't remember his real name. I don't
Carol O'Connor.
That one.
Uh-huh.
His son's in it.
Yes.
Also great role. The guy who plays Tibbs in that, great role.
Okay.
Everything's awesome. I don't remember these people's names.
Right.
But
Howard Rollins.
Everything is awesome.
No.
You said it, though.
Yeah, you did. So what'd you think of the movie, by the way? There, that's awesome.
Oh, right.
In the movie.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
It's pretty good. I kind of... To me, I love the show because it's in a small town setting.
Okay.
So I kind of wanted the movie to be in a small town setting. I knew it wasn't going to be in a small town
Right,
because
he's not
setting.
From a small town.
Right.
No matter what the show tried to say.
I missed that down-home vibe.
Would you be interested in finding the next in the film series?
Hell, the last in the film series?
Watch
it.
I don't know if I'll enjoy it. Did you remember there were three?
No, yeah. I had no idea.
It was like either the Great Company, the Great Something... I forget what the third one is even called. I only remember the second one because it's that fantastic line from the first one that is never said in this movie. So let's call our movie that. That makes a lot of sense to me. I also randomly watched Dominion, prequel to The Exorcist, because it was randomly on when no one else was around. So I had seen...
So, wait, is it when with the demon before it was in the person, or with the people before they had the demon?
In The Exorcist, they reference an exorcism that Father Marin had done previously in the 40s in Africa. And in An Exorcist to the Heretic, an awful, awful, awful film, they showed us some flashback sequences of this time. And in Exorcist 3, a fantastically underlooked film, had nothing to do with that whatsoever. So then we get to the weirdness, because before this movie came out, there was Exorcist the Beginning. Because, and stay with me, Dominion, the prequel to The Exorcist, was being made first. When it was turned in, Morgan Creek didn't think it was horror movie enough. So they fired the director, brought in Rennie Harlan, spent another $40 million, had him reshoot a bunch of this and release it. It came out to horrible reviews and made no money. So then Morgan Creek gave the original director something like $10 million to finish what he was doing. And the following year, they released his version of the movie.
Interesting.
Yes, it's a very weird thing.
And that's what you saw?
Yes, because previously I had seen Exorcist the Beginning and found it to be quite lacking and didn't have... I was like, well, if this is the punched up version, I don't want to see the original. But Dominion, the prequel to The Exorcist, better film than that.
Huh.
Better than Exorcist 2. So it would be hard
like
not to be.
That's like saying better than Iron Man 2.
Kind of. Really, really, really kind of is. Although Exorcist 2 just does have James Earl Jones... And giant bees and stuff. It's weird.
Are the bees possessed?
No.
Is it possible to
look,
be possessed?
You either have to get drunk and watch that movie, or we need to stop talking about it now. Because
okay.
Nothing I describe to you about this will make any sense whatsoever.
I just wanted to make my bee pun.
That's fine. You can do that. I caught the first episode of Documentary Now on IFC with... this one was Bill Hader and... from Portlandia, Fred Armisen.
He's like, your mom.
Yes, yes, my mom is in Portlandia. And Fred Armisen, a Documentary Now is a fake show, obviously, about Documentary Now, a company that's been making documentaries for 50 years. So these are some of the documentaries that they've done. And this first one is about these two old ladies in a house, and it's just, they're very, very weird people, and things take a more interesting turn as you go along. And everyone, Seth Meyers wrote the episode, so a bunch of people.
Funny?
It was quite funny. I laughed
a lot.
Was
Kristen Wiig there?
No, she was not.
Okay.
It was really just Bill Hader and Fred Armisen as women, and occasionally you saw the camera and sound guy.
I like the way that Fred Armisen does women's roles on Portlandia.
True.
So, that could be funny. I don't know. It's like some of the Saturday Night Live cast of that era had a really good chemistry together, but not necessarily everybody. So you saw what, two episodes of it? Or
no,
one?
I saw the first episode.
Okay.
Have not
worth
seen.
Watching again?
I would check out some more of it. Absolutely would. Let's see. Also, finally caught the last two episodes of Silicon Valley season 2 on HBO, because we moved when the last two episodes happened.
And you had them on the DVR?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you just missed them.
Yeah, so on demand. I just hadn't got around to them yet. Oh, dear God, I love that show. It is so funny.
Yeah, you were like super transfixed.
Well, that's because it was the season finale. You walked in on me watching the season finale. And it's something we've been building up to. We're our underdog hero who's created this wonderful app and fighting the big monster tech company named Hooli. You figure out what that's based on. And then this was their big moment where they're trying to seize control, saying, no, the thing that you've worked on that works so much better than anything we do actually belongs to us because you worked on it in our time.
Not
so this
wrong.
Was a big key moment. And for a show that is so all about him just continuing to like dig himself deeper and deeper into a hole, they found a wonderful way to give us an uplifting moment to end on and at the same time still punch him in the gut. So that was fantastic. And I can't wait to see what season 3 brings. And unless I happen to have forgotten something, I'm pretty sure that that's been my geeky sweep.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, I mean to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
Indeed, so...
Ba-ba-ba.
Really? You're going to do
not?
Some music?
Why not?
Have at it. Freestyle, come on.
I'm done now.
Oh, okay.
Now that you've called out me.
I was just so pleasantly surprised as you decided to participate with the class.
Going back to my introvert corner now.
Okay, stop playing your game, Saucy.
I've been off of it ever since you were done with your geeky sweep.
So So you were playing. So other than the app,
I had to collect my coins.
What do we have to tell people other than the app? Goodness, well, I don't even know at this point.
We haven't had a chance to talk to everybody about it, but I think there's only one date that's going to work for the pub crawl.
Okay.
And that not all of our friends are going to be able to make it. But we have Halloween is one Saturday, and then we have like the family reunion also. So it looks like it's November 7th.
It does.
That is going to be the pub crawl. And I know that that means that not everybody will be able to come, but we are hoping that you are able to join us. So I will make it a Facebook event.
Oh, wait. Did y'all just hear Viv scream?
I did. Aw.
We'll do another spring one.
We will.
And
we will.
Summer one.
Okay, whoa. Slow your roll. Slow your roll.
Unless you want to officially be in charge of pub crawls.
Unless you and Johnny K are friends now, you need to slow your roll.
What's a Johnny K?
Johnny Kraken. We talked about this.
Oh, no.
Release the Kraken.
Saucy had a bad experience with the Kraken.
So you should join us this year.
It was
so
terrible.
We start in like Chaco. Yeah, Chaco. Not Chaco Valley.
No, not Chaco Valley.
Chaco Bottom.
Chaco Bottom.
It's not
Chaco
the bottom quite there. It's no. A slip. It's Chaco Slip.
There you go.
We start at Chenay. We hit up a couple of places all in that
Rosie
area.
Connelly's
and then we eventually do make our way down to Chaco Bottom, and it's super fun. And not everybody drinks. Sometimes people just come along and hang out and
I wouldn't
make
notice.
Fun of
I'm
people
too busy
who drink.
Drinking.
What's wrong
Some
with
people
them?
People should learn to drink less.
Yeah.
Next time around.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Well,
but
I had never had the opportunity to drink with a large group of people where everybody was like, take shots with me. So I did. I took shots with
was
everybody.
Was that supposed to be me? At least once.
And
that
then
was me.
Some people asked me to take more shots.
Peer pressure?
And then people bought me shots. And then I bought shots. And it was bad.
I was going to say, when you reach the stage where you're just randomly grabbing glasses and drinking, you know you're in trouble.
Right? And I was dancing, and I don't dance.
I was there. You still didn't. At the last
bar. Oh, snap.
There's no ointment for that burn. I'm sorry.
At the last bar we went to, they stopped me and him because we walked in together and said that, pointed at him and goes, well, he's shaking. And wanted him to say the alphabet backwards. And he's like, I couldn't do that if I hadn't been drinking. So they looked at me to ask if I could do it. And yes, because don't ask me why, but I've practiced.
So they let me in. Big mistake.
Big mistake.
Oh. I didn't drink anymore while I was there. I was good.
No, in fact, he had less alcoholic content in his body when he left.
Yes, I did.
That's the mistake.
Oopsie. Oh, it was quite the mistake.
So yeah.
I was supposedly banned.
Supposedly.
But we've been back multiple times.
We certainly have. They don't know. Because someone thought it was much worse than what had actually happened.
It wasn't. I contained
it. But anyway, November 7th is going to be the date. Because yes, I have a family reunion to be to the second Saturday in November that I cannot skip out on, or the family will hunt me down.
Right, especially with a new baby if we don't go to the reunion.
Oh, dear God, right?
So everybody come watch Saucy Expel Kraken at
November 7th.
Places.
And I will put all the details up in a soon-to-be-posted Facebook event.
Wow, that's outstanding. I'm so impressed by that, I really don't know what to do next.
Push the button.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Just saw Jurassic World at the Second Run Theater because I did not want to spend the sum of $15.
$15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't shine, then you owe me, oh.
At least not for two movie tickets, but now I am confused. Spoiler alert. Is that final fight scene with a dinosaur from the first movie, and that's spelled S-E-E-N, but I think you meant scene, fight scene. Is that final fight scene, yes, that makes more sense, with a dinosaur from the first movie? I'm going to say yeah, because I think he's talking about the T-Rex. I believe the T-Rex in Jurassic World is the same one from Jurassic Park, because it looks older, it's got scars, it's been through some shit.
I remember thinking that at the time. I don't know what their life expectancy is, though. It's been a while.
They said it in the first movie, and I think that it would still work. I think it still works. I'm not sure. I don't know how long they had that dino training.
Let's be fair. The scientist in the first movie really didn't know what they were doing anyway, so that dinosaur could live 200 years.
Right. The thing that they made was not necessarily an actual... I mean, it was a genetically altered T-Rex.
He thinks we're doing actual spoilers. That's,
no, you
that,
can,
that's
you
funny.
You can pay attention now.
Sons of bitch.
That's funny. That's incredible. So until fees go up to zero at the App Store, Amazon Underground, make mine geekradiodaily.com. And that's from Rob. Well, thank you, Rob. Ah, Bell. He even knew we were going to say that. Crazy. So, there is a free app. It's Amazon Underground. And yeah, that was the, yeah.
Totally
the spoiler.
Sweet. It's totally sweet.
Science thinks they might have lived up to 30 years.
There you go. And this was what, 20 years later? 25 years later?
They got the Jeep to start. Couldn't have been that long.
Hello, my geeks. So I was listening to your podcast and heard you drop a bombshell.
You dropped a bombshell on me.
Did I hear you right when you said you were not coming to Dragon Con this year?
Yes, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Say it ain't so. There's no official podcast panel, no gorilla podcast on the 18th floor of the Hilton.
We do like to do that.
No Kool-Aid and vodka in a water bottle. What is this world coming to?
Who
this
does that?
I know.
It's a sad day.
Not us.
Indeed. This has been, as always, surreal.
We follow rules.
We certainly do.
Regulations.
You can't carry around alcohol at a convention, so
it's
I certainly
upon.
Don't do that.
Who likes to frown?
No one.
Not saucy. Aww.
I do enjoy the hell out of some Hawaiian punch, though. That's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, we are sad to miss Dragon Con. It's a variety of reasons. It's baby, financial, crowded, you know, just life.
Baby, financial, crowded?
The baby's finances are super crowded right now.
Oh, okay.
And I think you should give the poor darling a break.
And besides,
I mean, her onesie budget was cut into enough.
And the small spoons budget, it's tapped.
And I figured the best chance for us to win a parsec is to actually not be there.
Right.
So we're rolling the dice to see if we can stop
being. We still won't win, but that's okay.
No, we won't, because we are the Susan Lucci of podcasting. That's just how that works.
So. I ain't no Susan Lucci.
Do you?
I said, I ain't no Susan Lucci.
No, I'm afraid you... Well, that's right. You've only lost a couple of awards now, not numerous. But that's okay. We also have a voicemail.
Hey, geeks, this is Anna. Anna! I just want to say that I love board games a lot. And so if you ever need somebody else to play with, I'm happy to do that. I'm big.
We need to have a board game night.
And I have a bunch of myself, too. So the other thing I was thinking of is related to Shadows of Camelot. There's a game called Betrayal at House on the Hill that you might like, that involves monsters and creepy
monsters.
Things to a certain extent. But also, at some point during the game, one of the players betrays everyone else, and it's almost a choose-your-own-adventure type thing. So there's a booklet for the betrayer and a booklet for the rest of the group with different scenarios depending on how this occurred, like how this ended up happening in the game that determines which one that you end up with. So so there's like 50 different ways this game could go at that point. So you never get bored with it, I would say. I've played it a bunch of times with some friends. It scales up to a number of people pretty well. It's actually pretty good to have a bunch of people playing it. So that's nice too. If you're looking for another one that is similar to Shadows of a Camelot, but maybe not quite as complicated and possibly more readily available, I know they did a reprint recently, that would be my recommendation, Betrayal at House on the Hill. All right, bye.
Now, this is not the Betrayal at the House on Haunted Hill, is it?
And unfortunately, it's not an Abaddon Hill.
Oh. Anybody else got houses on hills jokes to make? Anybody?
Nope.
Anybody? Mm-hmm. Damn, that's a damn shame. But no, we do like board games, and we should, and we have them, and you know, we have a baby that's going to want every piece if we try to play with her. So I don't
know.
Right,
but
after
the baby's gone to bed, we can do things like have podcasts and play games.
So that means you got to come on over, Anna. So come on over, bring a board game, and make sure call first. Make sure we're home, because that would be embarrassing. That would be embarrassing. If you'd like
I'm
to drop
put something on the calendar.
Ooh, damn! That's two things in one night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sisters doing it for themselves. If you'd like to drop a note, please do. It's podcast Billy Flynn, Flynnster Saucy, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you'd like to call, you can leave a voicemail by calling
510-GRD-CREW.
That's what now?
510-GRD-CREW.
Going online now with a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds.
It's the GRD Con Report.
Indeed it is. It's the GRD Con Report, a place to tell you where to go to get your geek on. And so I know that this is still August, but we've already done September, and it's too late to plan for that. So hey, October, we're ahead of the curve for a change.
What?
What's going down con-wise?
All right. The weekend of the 2nd through the 4th, we have Archcon. I don't know how to...
You wanted it to be ArchieCon, I know.
I did. But it's in St. Louis, so it's St. Louis Arch. So it's in St. Louis, Missouri. We have Conflux in Canberra, Australia.
That's where all the panels change randomly depending on the card plates. Right.
ContraFlow or Deep South Con is in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Convolution is in Burlingame, California.
You're a convolution.
I don't believe in convolution.
Erie Con is in Grand Island, New York. And HP Lovecraft... H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival is in Portland, Oregon. We have Irish Discworld Convention and VCon 40 in Vancouver, Canada.
Celebrating all the Vancouverness. Nice.
Well, her name is Vancouver. She lived in Alberta.
Yeah.
The weekend of October 8th through the 11th, BoucherCon in Raleigh, North Carolina. 9th through the 11th, Cap Clave in Gaithersburg,
Cap Clave.
Maryland. Necronomicon, 9th through the 11th at
Clatu,
Tampa,
Barada, Nictu.
Tampa, Florida, and the 10th through the 11th, Octocon in Dublin.
There's eight cons happening at once there.
Ireland.
It's very weird.
I'm always Octocon. Astounded how many different ways we can fit con into another word.
It's consistent.
Oh.
Boo.
You're a boo.
Pun con.
Not my favorite con.
Condiment.
Nope.
Oh, we know where you're going, yeah, though. We know. Yep.
You always go to the lowest common denominator, Billy Flynn.
Well, I can't help it. It's where I'm most comfortable.
So what about the weekend after that?
Oh, this is my pitch, right?
I think so.
All right. 16th through the 18th of October, Brown Coat Ball at Virginia Beach, Virginia.
They're going to dance.
Oh, there you go. Got Constellation 32. And that's going to be Huntsville, Alabama. And 16 through 18 in Calgary, Falcon, something like that. Probably Falcon, I guess, you know.
People with that many L's.
I like Icon for Iowa and Cedar Rapids.
Yeah. See what they did there.
Yep. We've got ValleyCon in Fargo, North Dakota.
Gag me with a spoon.
Scandinavian Sci-Fi Game and Film Convention. Oh, well, they didn't really go for a con
they
play
didn't.
There. That's disappointing, actually. Helsingborg, Sweden.
Scandinavians are very practical.
And Viable Paradise in Martha's Vineyard.
Sounds really dirty. Is that the one you're going to be at?
No. I'm going to stick with James River Riders here in Richmond. I'm sticking to town, although that's going to be all about riding, dude. All about riding.
And when is that?
Now, I would say I would enjoy seeing some people come in costume. That would be a fun change. Because I know there's some people who would absolutely flip if that happened.
Better come dressed as your favorite rider.
There you go. Or even better characters, let's face it. We are going to have an erotica rider there. So if for some of our fans showed up, you know, hey. But yeah,
I should cosplay
16th,
Pip.
Yeah, 16th through 18th, Richmond Convention Center, James River Riders. Going to be a blast.
James River Riders After Dark, the erotica corner.
Well, there's more weekends.
There certainly is.
Is it me?
No, it's not.
Is it you?
21st to the 25th of October.
I can't count.
Get ready. I have a bunch to go through. You ready? The 21st to the 25th, which is weird. It's Aluxicon in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Fantastic art is in parentheses, which means you can't hear it. And the 23rd to the 25th is Mile High Con 47 in Denver, Colorado. And that's what's happening that weekend.
Okay.
That's all of them.
The following weekend is the 30th through the 1st. That's a Honor Con. It's military science fiction in Raleigh, North Carolina. And also that weekend we have Tuscon in Tuscon.
Makes it sound
Tuscon
like walruses are going to be there. Walry are going to be there.
Tuscon.
Coo-coo-ca-choo.
It's in Tucson. You should go to it.
Is it a convention?
Yeah,
it's okay. That's outstanding. Well, there you go. That's everywhere that you can go. And if there's some place that you should go that we don't know about, by all means, please let us know. We'd love to update our con list. So drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, and we will add that to all future stuffages. So if you kick back and relax, we'll be right back to find out when this ballerina, writer, actor got started. I love your expression right there.
No, you will not be actually required to do any ballet.
Well, aww. You can't hear it, so that would just kind of be silly. So,
oh, trust me, the scream would be very audible when I fell.
Hadn't thought about that. So we'll be right back to do episode 255, main topic even, of GRDs Weekly.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news. The biggest. Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman! It's really exciting!
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks. Same bat time, same Bat Channel on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thebatcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks. Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
Hello, this is Peter Davison, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Hi, we're Marvels.
And we're DCs.
I'm Batman.
Well, I've got to say, that trailer looks fantastic.
Really?
Oh, yeah, between your backstory, Superman's continued story, Wonder Woman's involvement, Lex Luthor's scheme, the fight scenes, the Superman army, the Justice League setup, and whatever Aquaman's role is, it looks like it'll be the most amazing 6.5-hour blockbuster ever.
How can we cut down that running time? I know we'll underdevelop our villain and have another character swim in a cave.
Well, one thing that's clear in your trailer is that someone had Robin eliminated in this universe. Oh, did I say Robin? I meant fun.
Yes, because nothing says fun time at the movies like referencing Black Widow's forced sterilization.
Please note the creator of this video is in no way attempting to ridicule or dehumanize those who have had forced or unforced sterilization, but rather observing that a discussion of such topic would seem an odd fit for the descriptor of fun. The creator also condemns anyone who would attempt to ridicule or dehumanize those who have had forced or unforced sterilization. Please send all complaints care of Joss Whedon.
Well, I suppose if your movie's best attempt at humor is a line like, the red capes are coming, maybe it's for the best to lay off the jokes.
Like your movies should lay off the plot device of Tony Stark invents something that almost destroys the world again.
Well, I could always take lessons in morality from your movies. I believe it was Ma Kent who said, be their hero, Clark. Be their angel. Be anything they need you to be. Or be none of it. I don't know, whatever. Scandal's on. Can we wrap this up, son?
Welcome back to GRD's Weekly, episode 255. Woohoo! See? Nice. Thank you for cheering for that. And like I said, we have a special guest with us. I guess I need to stop calling you a ballerina, don't I?
You know, I'm flexible.
You're such a pretty
one. Oh, I see what you did there.
I'm not gay.
Didn't say you were. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bill Bloom is here, so welcome to it, sir. Woo! Yeah, we're clinking glasses, but we don't actually have glass. Oh, there we go. There's some glass over there. Wait, you're the only one without glass. What's up with that? You're like your whiskey in plastic? That's weird, dude.
You like your vodka in plastic, so.
I don't know what you're talking about. Life. The Gatorade life. Shut the hell up.
You shut up. Do
so, you know, I heard word on the street is you're going to be at like this writing festival thing.
Yeah, we got the writers' conference coming up. It's going to be the 13th year. The hero of my book would approve. He likes that number. So they have 13th year for the James River Writers Festival. It's one of those writer secrets we keep here in Richmond. You got to be cool to get in for writer wives.
So that means you write stuff.
Yeah, I do write a lot of writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I like to write about a teenager.
You leave
who goes
the damn
out
eagles out of this. Oh. You leave the damn eagles out of this.
I was being a crow.
Okay.
Yeah. Since
sorry. Eagles don't make a caw noise.
They did the other night. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Saucy is spoken.
Can you let the man talk about a damn book?
Shut the hell up already, Saucy. God.
Wax off.
You do not wax off me. I wax off you.
Do we have to go to the other room for that?
No.
Okay, just
checking. I am not gay.
So who wants to take over now? Who's in charge?
Let the man talk about his book.
Certainly.
So I write about a teenager who goes out at night and kills vampires. They don't sparkle, even though the sparkly ones do deserve it.
It's true.
Yes, they do. Let's be honest. But yeah, he goes out at night, he kills it. He's a third generation vampire hunter, getting trained by his grandfather. The dad doesn't know about it, and the dad wouldn't be too happy if he found out about it. So yeah, he sneaks out at night to go kill vampires. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and the bad thing is it's the hunting the vampire part that's easy for him. High school's what's going to get him killed, probably.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I can see that. It's a much more dangerous place.
It really is.
Are there vampires living amongst us, like in secret?
Oh, yes.
That's the vampire.
Oh, yeah. Now, I was going to say, yeah, with this one, I got it gritty. I got it very realistic, which is why I had a teenage vampire hunter, because, you know, that was horrendously realistic of me. But, you know.
Well, adults aren't going to believe.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, for a YA, it gets pretty gritty. I like to have a lot of, you know, bloodshed in the action scenes. But I mean, let's face it, it's a vampire book, kind of got to happen. But it's all about the hunter. He gets out there, he goes after him. He's more like, if you could imagine, Michael Weston hunting vampires in high school.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. I think I'm the only person here who watches Burn Notice.
Oh, Oh.
I know of Burn Notice because of Bruce Campbell. But
three people that get it. Yeah, it's me.
See?
That's me.
Every now and again it happens.
It's nice. Mario. Yay, you got it's one. Saucy.
Don't you feel good when it happens?
It's saucy. It's saucy.
Think of how good people feel when I tell that odd joke that only they know. Never mind. Yes.
You gotta love Michael Weston. I'm sorry. Right. He's made spy work, you know, common sense. And so I was like, what the hell? I can do that for vampire hunting. Exactly.
He's like, this is what you need to do to turn a microwave into a multitude-killing machine.
So it's the MacGyver for spies?
Yes. Sure. Absolutely.
Better than James Bond.
Which is why Gideon Keep is the MacGyver.
McSpiver.
There you go. Sorry. I'm going to have to work on a vampire version of that, though.
Okay.
McStaker. No. Oh, no, that doesn't sound good. Wait.
No, I wouldn't do that. Why would you say that? Is that a Freudian slip there?
I think so. It could be. But yeah.
Is this some sort of gay thing?
No.
You're sure?
Yeah.
So Gideon's Blood is the second full-length edition in this series, correct? There have been the Gideon's Hunt is the first one and Gideon's Blood is the second?
Gideon's Hunt was first. That was pretty much kind of establishing, you know, the rules, kind of giving an idea of how things work. And the second book is where I really take all the plot threads ahead that kind of left dangling. Well, not all of them, but most of them from the first book really get kind of taken care of in this book.
We do like a sequel that kind of answers all the questions left unanswered.
Oh, believe me. This one answers a lot of questions. My wife didn't even know a lot of the stuff I was going to have in this book, and she even hit me when she got done reading it.
I think that's a good thing, I think, almost, like a sign.
Wait, where?
On the arm. She hit me on the arm.
On the shoulder.
She had to be nice about it because we were at work at the time, and we do work in a police station. So, you know, that kind of limits
So space. If it wasn't for that place, do you think it still would have been the arm?
No.
Oh.
She wasn't happy with the character who got killed off.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So you're saying people die.
Oh, there's a body count in this one.
Spoilers.
Yeah, in fact, one of my favorite responses from one of my friends was, I trusted you.
Really? Don't they know you?
Yeah, she was like, trusted. I know you don't believe in doing, which I can't say what that is, because, you know, that would be...
Right. Spoilers. Major spoiler.
Yeah, oh yeah, big spoilers. But yeah, so the most fun for that book was not just having Gideon come back and do his thing and put him in the worst trouble I could ever imagine. It was the hunter who comes after him. I figured if there's a guy who hunts vampires... Why not a vampire who hunts vampire hunters?
Of course.
And she's a lot of fun.
Spike did enjoy that. Spike did enjoy.
Spike is like one of the most... I do a thing every Friday called Fangs God It's Friday on my blog.
Nice.
And it's like I highlight a vampire or a vampire hunter. One of the most popular posts I've done, Spike.
Of course.
I tell you, it's amazing.
Who's the one that you got the most response for that you didn't expect? Ooh, how's that for a question out of left field?
Well, at first I didn't expect the response. I did Van Helsing.
The actual Van Helsing Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackman Van Helsing.
Dear God. Okay.
No. To be fair, though, I should have realized it was going to be as popular as it was because of what I did in this particular post. Because my wife really digs Hugh Jackman.
He's easy on the eyes.
I'll be honest. Please. If I was...
You're so hot for him, I could reheat this chili in your cooch.
I do like some Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
I mean, if I was going to go that way, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, do I still have Gage?
I was going to say, dude, I'm now recycling now.
Goodness.
Oh, dear God. We're going to have to really work on that. All right. But yeah, so it's like I threw in a bunch of pictures of Hugh Jackman, you know, looking pretty snazzy. So yeah, let's just say there were a lot of happy women on social media that day.
Those were pictures from your private collection?
I can't divulge where they came from.
That's fine. That's fine. Who was your favorite vampire or vampire hunter to write about?
Ooh. Well, I mean, Gideon's going to win.
In your blog, though. You know.
Out of the post.
Who did you geek out the most writing about, I guess I should say?
Actually, the most recent one I did is probably the geekiest thing I could have ever done, and it has absolutely nothing to do really with a vampire or vampire hunters.
You've just spoiled what you said it was about. What's that?
Frank Gore. Frank Gore is the running back now at Indianapolis. Used to be for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
I'm big in fantasy football, and so I read this article where this guy said, you know, we've been saying for years he's going to just finally give out. He's like 32 years old. He's way past the point which most of these running backs thrive. And so he's just like, he's the vampire of running backs.
Nice.
And as soon as I read that, I went, this man must be on my fantasy football team. He is on my fantasy football team. I got him in my league's draft.
How's he doing for you?
Well, it hasn't started yet.
Oh, that's right.
But I'm
hopefully he won't suck.
What I'm really worried about is if I might have to stake him.
Oh,
you know, he doesn't get points.
Have you done Blade yet?
Oh, yeah, did Blade. He was one of the first ones I did. Actually, the first one I did was my favorite one to look at. Let's say part of the reason I did Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing for my wife is because the very first one I did was Selena.
Nice. From Underworld.
Yes.
Look at you with a reference.
Kate Beckinsale.
I love Underworld.
I love me some Kate Beckinsale.
I like Underworld.
Captain America, huh?
Oh, yeah, I did get Cap. I got Cap in there because there was an alternate version of another planet, another reality in the Marvel Universe where he was a vampire. He was like the big bad vampire, in fact. So, yeah, I managed to get Cap in there.
I mean, come on. You can't stake a man with a shield.
Or maybe it's the whole him being in ice for so long, he was sleeping and then back to life. Who knows?
Doesn't matter. He has a shield. They're not going to kill him. He's got a shield. And unless you have, well, no, because adamantium. Those just spark off each other. We've seen that in the comics a few times.
Adamantium and vibranium, you mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, they're, of course, you know, there's the big, you know, two-page splash of Wolverine and Cap fighting, and it's right in the shield.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like mad because they're two of the strongest. This absorbs, you know, all the vibrations coming this way, and this can cut through anything, except it can't cut through this because you can't. Oh, it's crazy. You can't loosen the molecules. It's insane. The
ultimate Mexican standoff.
Why has it got to be a Mexican standoff?
Yeah, that's the term.
Okay. Whatever.
But he's Captain America.
All you got to do is like get the shield away from him and then stake him. And it still has to be a wooden stake.
Wait, we have to go back to the Mexican standoff thing. It cannot possibly be a Mexican standoff. He's Captain America and Wolverine's a Canuck.
Fair point.
The North America standoff.
Sure. That works for me. Which we could call it the Nah standoff.
The Wall Street standoff.
Nah.
Not the Wall Street
standoff. Why not?
Because that's dumb. Neither one of them are involved in the banking industry.
Back to your blog, sir.
How far along before you got to Blackula?
I have not done him yet. Actually, I did do... However, I have done Bunnicula.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a great book when I was growing up.
There you go.
Book.
Yep.
I found Jonathan Livingston Seagull particularly delicious. Yes. It's a quote from the books.
Julian Luna from... Kindred.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
Helsing from the anime Helsing.
Haven't done him yet. However, I have done Vampire Hunter D.
Ooh.
Okay. Had to get him in
haven't
there.
Haven't done that one.
Oh, dude.
Haven't seen Vampire Hunter D?
It's so hard to find it.
It wasn't in the 90s. You couldn't walk 5 feet in any kind of niche store without finding 16 different copies of it.
I know. It's amazing. I heard the second. I've never seen the second one though. I heard the second one was awful.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
that's not. What I heard. And so I'm I hesitate to go after
you
that.
You can't strike that kind of magic again.
Nah.
It's like, you know, you can't do Ninja Scroll 2. I'm sorry. You just can't. Ninja Scrollers? More Ninja Scrolls? It doesn't work for me. It's not the same.
So we should check out your blog for all kinds of vampire-y goodness.
Yep, I've got that in there. And then, of course, let's not forget the dragons.
I was going to say I like Grumpy Dragon.
Windsor is one of my favorite stuffed dragons in my wife's collection. However, I kind of like to think of him as mine. We actually got him in England. We got him at a gift shop in Windsor Castle.
Oh, okay.
That's where he gets his name. That's why he's Windsor.
He's official.
He is. Nice. He is a true British dragon. And my wife does get credit for having the idea behind Grumpy Dragon, though, because we had him for years. I actually used him in several stories. I used him in a webcomic I did years ago called Wildcat's Lair. And I actually, she was walking downstairs with him. I was taking him to the Batcave, where I write. Yep. And she was like, you know, you should totally do a Grumpy Dragon meme with him, just like that grumpy cat. Within less than an hour, I had the first one in there. And now I do it every Monday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Grumpy Mondays? Nice.
Yeah. I actually did a team up with the Grumpy Puppy.
Well, he does look a little grumpy. He's got a little bit of a grumpy face.
Yeah, I was going to say, my favorite thing is I teamed up with Grumpy Puppy. For this last one.
Puppies can't
I saw
grumpy.
That. Yep.
I actually got permission from the folks over there. I was like, hey, can I use one of your pictures? And they're like, yeah, sure. Grumpy puppies. Yeah, they let me use the picture. I got the permission for it, which was really a lot of fun. And so, I was going to say, this week it's going to be probably, if I can get it put together this evening, I'm going to have Windsor do a little thing about why he doesn't like witches who steal things.
Well, it's bad.
It is.
They're naughty.
And they make him grumpy.
And you can't have that.
No. Well, actually, we kind of have to at least once a week. So
you were invited to this this writing conference in Richmond because of a grumpy dragon?
No. Actually, I am not going to be the star. What I will be.
Are you sure?
Oh, God, yes. What I will be, though, is I will be moderating for the panels there.
Nice. Sweet. Okay.
Yeah. I do a lot of moderating for James Will Writers. I've been on the board for several years. Chaired the board 1 year. I actually was on the board for 4 years after helping organize the conference a few times. And then I got off the board. I really got focused on my own writing. And then they sucked me back in, and I'm back on the board again.
Try to get out.
It's totally the mafia. Yes, it's a writing mafia in Richmond.
Have T and Pip done something with the James River Writing Convention?
I've had so much fun with T and Pip. It's not even
long time friends of the show. Yeah,
I actually have gone to. I moderated them at one of the conferences. We brought them back like 3 months later for one of our monthly writing shows, and it was just the two of them and me on the stage. That was one of the most funs I've ever had interviewing people. It was great.
Have you ever got to go with T and Pip to Proper Pie so you can see Pip become like a 12-year-old girl? Oh, just I'm so happy.
I've gone once with them. Nice. Both. I've gone twice with T.
Yeah, Proper Pie is a special place.
If you look at the book trailer for their fourth book, The Diamond Conspiracy, I'm the big villain in the book trailer.
Wow.
I am the villain. So T, of course, knows how to pay a crew properly. He fed us proper pie.
That's outstanding. That's
Oh, God, yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
See, we need to go again. Right? It's been a while. It's been a while since we've been.
They should be opening back up in a few days.
I didn't realize it was closed.
Every August they shut down.
Yeah, they do summer close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't blame them. They work hard.
Take some time off.
Have you ever been to? Did you any of y'all go when they did Pi Day on 314? Went there with my son, and it was insane. We were in line for 2 hours.
Yeah, I believe it.
Rained, and it was worth it for every bite.
It always is.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, never had anything bad there. Everything there has just been so amazing.
Is so good. And actually, I'm so infatuated with the food at Proper Pie, I actually snuck Proper Pie into the second book of my series.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, I have it in there. There's tons of Richmond references. Y'all were talking about the pub crawl earlier, right? Starting at Chenet. First book starts right across the street from Chenet.
Wait, is it someplace still there?
Believe me, that's one of the things. The funny thing is, everything I reference in that book is still here in the Richmond area. However, the first book, most of that was written in a place that is not here anymore. The cafe, the Elwood's Cafe.
Really?
Now, technically, it's still here. They just kind of moved it inside the grocery store, Elwood Thompson. But yeah, I wrote the majority of that book in Elwood's Cafe back when it was in the shopping center across from the grocery store they have there.
Interesting.
It was wonderful. It had such great feng shui for me as a writer. I love that place. And then they shut it down and I wanted to cry.
So how long before you think you'll be doing the Richmond bus tours for people?
Oh my gosh.
The Bill Bloom Richmond tour?
I've been trying to cook something. I sat down and I actually figured out how many different places I had in the book that actually referenced real places in Richmond. And it was easily like 3 dozen places.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it needs to be.
Well, we had a short
weekend,
story then. That was set around the zombie walk, right?
Yep. Oh, that was one of my favorite things. Yeah. I wrote that in the middle of writing the second book. And I will say, writing that story forced me to give a character in it a bigger role in the second book.
Awesome.
Because I had so much fun writing her with Gideon, because the banter between the two of them was just a blast.
I did. I used to play roller derby and did the zombie walk with roller skates and full roller derby gear 1 year.
Nice.
It was pretty fun.
Now that's really amping it up. I'm impressed. Yeah, I was going to say, the zombie walk for me, one of the favorite things about writing that story was I started had the concept of, all right, it was going to be in an anthology with the writers who were in the publishing house I was with. And the concept they came up with was festivals. And I was just like, really? And so I started thinking about it, and the thing I came back to was zombie walk. And I realized, I was like, what would be more inviting to a vampire than the opportunity to feed in public?
Right.
And they get away with it. No one's going to think twice if you just take a snack out of someone there.
Right. They just think that you're playing around.
Right. And so I was like, and then
you
I started
the brain area ish, you know?
It gets hard. And more I started letting the story develop, the more difficult. I mean, it was really almost a bummer I used it for only a short story, because it was such a great, the whole situation was fantastic. And it got more complex for Gideon as I went through it, trying to figure out how he was going to find the vampires among the zombies, because there were two of them in there. And one of my favorite moments in that story is when Gideon finds the vampires. Because it's one of those things where it was like a totally meta solution that works.
Nice.
Which I'm not going to give away.
Well, no.
Because that would just be spoilery.
That would be...
Spoilers!
Nobody wants that.
The more you talk about it, the more interested I am in reading your book.
It was a lot of fun.
It does sound like fun. Where can people pick it up?
You can get it pretty much in the usual places online. Mm-hmm. Go to Amazon, go to BN.com. Now, if you want to get an autographed copy, though, autographed, Ooh. You can get if you order through Fountain Bookstore here in Richmond. The lady down there, Kelly Justice, who owns the place, she's been a huge advocate for me. She loved the first book. And in fact, that really scared the heck out of me because as I was writing the second book, I was like, oh God, I don't want to screw it up.
It's got to always sort of be a thing. I mean, anytime you're trying to repeat the success of what you had from the first time, sure.
Mm-hmm. And for me, that book was hellish to write. When I was 15,000 words into the book, publisher comes back to me after I told them what I was going to do, which I was going to tell the story from the point of view of the main character, Gideon, and I was going to tell it from the perspective of the assassin vampire who's been hired to kill him. And I was going to let the story just kind of slowly bring them together. And they went, yeah, we kind of prefer our books to have one point of view.
What?
And that's boring. Well, no, actually, here's the thing. If there's one thing I'm coming to appreciate more and more, listen to your publisher. They were right. It is a much better book having listened to them. And because what I ended up doing was I was combining what was going to be the third book into the second. And right. It just makes that book an incredible ride. It just puts the main character in more danger than I ever could have done if I'd kept things broken up. And I'm sorry, I got to say it. The stakes can't get higher for him than I do. But I mean, really, that was one of the things that I'm looking at the next books I'm going to have to do for this. And I'm thinking, I can't top that. But what I can do, I mean, it's like what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to build up his world to a point where I can actually get him to have those same kind of level of danger. It's going to be a great challenge. I'm looking forward to it.
So how many books do you anticipate total in the series? Hard to tell.
At 37?
It's going to be more ongoing, but I will say, ideally, I would at least like to get to six.
Seasons in a movie.
There you go. Because there's one thing the books haven't done yet is it hasn't gotten into the whole vampire hunter culture. You see everything from Gideon's point of view. It's very limited. The grandpa doesn't. You know that he was hunting in his younger days, but you never really find out if there are other hunters out there, if they're really connected with them in any way. In fact, there's a small story in a short story collection that was put out by my publisher that does let you see the assassin that comes after Gideon taking out another vampire hunter. And it does kind of justify, yes, there are other hunters out there. And slowly but surely, I'm going to get Gideon into their world. And so he's going to have to start connecting with other people out there. And that's going to be it's going to be challenging to write, but it's going to be a lot of fun too.
So it's got an early Supernatural vibe to it.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. In fact, I've actually started trying to watch Supernatural because I hadn't. And I've had a lot of people they've kind of made me realize my series really has a lot that's similar to Supernatural. There's a very similar vibe there, especially when you consider Grandpa, who is this curmudgeon-y guy, and he's just, he's not exactly fit for public consumption in most cases.
See, I'm already picturing him as Barnard Hughes, the grandpa from The Lost Boys. That's just...
People get that. The other one, really, though, he's really more like Whistler from Blade.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was going to say...
I love Chris Christopherson.
He's too badass to... Grandpa was one of the most popular characters in the first book.
Okay. The Grandpa Chronicles. That could be your spinoff.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was going to say, could I go back and write the backstories for some of these guys? The only downside is Gideon's the best out of the three of them. It's almost like, stepping backwards a little bit.
And, I don't know if you heard me talk earlier, but prequels are very difficult.
Oh, my God. Prequels. Oh, my God. Yes. And let's just say, really? I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how people will react to the second book, because it definitely opens the door to maybe exploring some of that. We'll see.
I'm really enjoying this talk that we're having about a book. I'm also really excited to play Show Enough and Oh Hell No, because it's been a while.
Okay.
Can we go ahead and play the game?
Certainly.
It's time to play the multiverse's favorite guessing game. Do you know the truth when you hear it?
Show Enough!
Can you spot a lie?
Oh, hell no!
Play along with the GRD crew as they decide...
Show Enough!
Or, oh hell no!
That's right. If you've listened to this show before, if you've been at a convention, you've seen Show Enough or Hell No. That's where Bill here is going to tell us true things about himself. And we will determine whether or not those true things are actually true. Now, whether or not that has anything to do with anything other than bragging rights.
Right. I'm keeping score, and it's just for bragging rights.
Certainly.
We may do like a. Did you say that you might have a copy of your book you do want to give away?
I do.
So I was thinking after the game we would do just like a special like call in with this code to the voicemail.
Oh, there
and
you go.
If you call in and you're the I don't know, what number would Gideon pick?
13.
Oh, 13 is his number.
So the 13th caller will who says the correct code.
Who can tell us what the fake occupation was that I gave Bill?
Yeah, so that's how we'll do the prize.
Sure.
But so Show Enough and Oh Hell No will just be for our ongoing perpetual
fantastic
bragging rights.
So what is your first true fact, sir?
All right, my first truth. Despite writing about a vampire hunter, my favorite monster is actually the werewolf.
Show Enough.
Oh Hell No.
Oh Hell No.
I think it's
more. Oh Hell No.
Yay.
It's got to be more colorful than that. There's so many different.
I don't
more
understand.
More colorful than Teen Wolf?
I don't understand the appeal of wet fur. I'm just saying. It smells bad, you know?
Okay.
No, I can tell beyond just question. Your. I mean, the fact, you know, when we're talking about your blog and some of these other things, I think you like vampires.
I am, yeah, you know.
Some people don't write about what they like because they can't distance themselves from it to do it.
Well, actually, oops.
That doesn't make sense.
Nope.
Mic down.
I didn't mean to touch it. Fact number two.
All right, fact number two. My wife and I are high school sweethearts. We went to 3 proms together.
I'm not going first.
Show Enough.
Show Enough.
Damn it.
Go
oh, hell
heart.
No.
Show Enough.
Oh,
I wanted to, but I wanted someone to have something different there. I wanted y'all to have a chance.
Well, could you let us go first?
Honest chance for you to think that you might be able to win.
I believe in love, Billy Flynn.
I believe in a thing called
so you
love.
Went, so you didn't go to the same high schools?
No, we did.
Okay.
We went to the same high schools together. I was a senior. Well, I was a junior when we met, and she was a sophomore.
Got it. Okay. I was trying to figure out how the 3 proms happened.
Oh,
senior
yeah.
prom.
Not everyone is a good student, so let's not talk about that, shall we? It's a sore subject, all right?
They went to 8 proms.
Woo!
Currently, the score is Saucy 2, Flinstress 2, Flynn 0.
Wah, wah, wah. All right. I have broken my arms 5 times, and I even managed to break both of them at the same time.
You get to go first this time.
Show Enough.
Show Enough.
Hell Nah.
Show Enough.
I'm on the board. Woo!
Let me tell you, that sucked.
Did you get hugged by the Hulk? What happened?
For that one, I was just playing tag when I managed to break them both at the same time.
Wow.
I was playing tag. I was in 5th grade. Okay. And yeah, we would, the person who was it, we would trick them into chasing us up the slide. And we had 2 slides. They were connected by this bridge. Well, the thing was, as soon as they came up the slide, we would just jump off the bridge. This time I landed hand first.
Ouch.
See, there was kind of a little painful wince in your voice when you said that. I was like, I think that's real.
Yeah.
I think that might
believe
be real.
Me.
But you must have gotten out of all kinds of homework without being able to, if you
it
broke
did,
both arms.
Oh, it didn't last very long. I had a very mean English teacher that year, ironically enough. But yeah, it was the English teacher. She did not like me.
You will write with your mouth. You will type with your tongue. Do your work.
It was about that bad. I'm going to jump around on this. Why
sure.
not? Let's go for... In fact, we'll just jump to the bottom one here.
Ooh.
I've had many nicknames in my life. Among them are B-Squared, Wildcat, Lord of Chaos, Shrimp Creole, and Love Beast.
Hmm. Well, I've seen you in a few cons, so Show Enough.
Show Enough.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, Show Enough.
Show Enough!
You haven't heard the infamous... Don't you know the story
like
behind
B-squared.
The shrimp board?
I like B-Squared. That was pretty fun. No, I don't know. And you can save Love Beast for our After Hours podcast.
Oh, yeah. That definitely should be saved for private, yes. Gideon's first name came from my son's middle name.
Hell no.
Shona.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no!
I cannot wrap my brain around the idea of naming characters after loved ones. That's just a little too weird for me, especially with my kids. My wife, at one point, we wrote a book together, and one of the main female lead in the book was Isabeau. And we had already had one daughter, and we were trying to figure out when we were pregnant, where she was pregnant, because, you know, I wasn't allowed to do that. She was pregnant with the number two, and we could not agree on a daughter's name because she wanted to name Isabeau. And I was like, that's just too weird. We write a sex scene with that character. No.
Yeah.
No, you're just supporting. That's all. Yay. Yeah.
All right. When I was a news producer for Channel 6 here in Richmond, I was doing the morning cast, and at one point, I found a way to get an anchor on set with a sword.
Get him with a sword?
Get him onto set.
On set with a sword.
Holding a sword.
Okay, I see.
Show enough.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that sounds as hard to do. I mean, pre-9/11, you could just walk around with weapons all over the place. But no, I mean, was it for something having to do with like a Renaissance festival?
I'm trying to remember what it was regarding. It wasn't about a Ren Faire. I just know I did some goofy stuff on that morning show. There was one of my favorite things to do is every Friday morning, I would take five pieces of random videos that had goofy stuff in it. And I would do this thing called the train of thought. And the idea was I would try to find some way to randomly make every piece of video flow into the other story-wise. And somehow that I managed one week to justify getting a sword in my anchor's hands. That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yep.
And now we're going to read mail. Now, here's Jerry with the sword.
Okay. To open the mail.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go for another one here. How about I directed a porn video during my senior year in college.
See, that's easy enough to do. I had to do it once for a school project. It's a true story. True story. Okay, it wasn't an actual porn. We faked a porn. College. There's already porns happening. Show enough.
Hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
The show is rated PG.
The reason I do that is because the joke in my senior class was that I was a porn director.
Oh.
We did it.
Had this mustache?
Oh, no. I was rocking the beard, baby. Rocking the beard.
Did you carry around business cards with Playboy Club on it?
No, but every mugshot we collected that year for the newscast we put together
went
on the wall, and it was Bill's wall of porn stars.
Oh, okay.
All right, now, Saucy is currently in the lead. He has one wrong.
What?
I have two wrong, and Flynn has three wrong. So this one,
you got to say
this,
how many wrong. You can't say scores.
That's how I was keeping track of keeping score. All so this one will be our last one, and it will be worth 5 points.
So the rest of them didn't matter at all.
You people always do this.
Hey, what do you only mean? When I'm losing.
What do you mean, you people?
I mean you.
It takes racism.
You Monday to Friday jerk.
Shh, that's a joke for later.
All right, so we'll give you this one. All right. The pack structure of the vampires in my Gideon Keep Vampire Hunter series were inspired by hyenas.
Hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Show enough.
Show enough.
Damn.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness.
Did it come from behind victory? Billy Flynn.
Really? Did I win that? Oh, my God.
He did just win.
Hyenas are fascinating.
They are. But there were other animals that I could think of that were like, well, that more was fascinating.
Well, but that's the whole thing, though. I wanted to go for something that you wouldn't expect because there's been so many things. What really frustrates me is I see, you know, a lot of storytelling. They take the wolf pack structure and use that with vampires. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Right. It's like it's redundant. So I went for hyenas. It really sculpted the first book in my series, the story in that book. And what it made in doing that, it made the big bad of the book a woman.
Interesting.
Because in the hyena world, the women rule.
Yep.
Now, see,
sounds right to me.
I say this time and again, and I know it's been used in movies and it's goofy, but the universe tends to unfold as it should. The universe is constantly talking to us. We just don't know how to listen. When I watched Dominion, there were hyenas in it.
And that's how you won the game.
They were vicious. They were vicious and they had some craftiness to them as well. So I was like, hyenas. Yeah, yep. That's the ticket.
A lot of the stuff in the book, there's a nomadic vampire is my book because they're nomadic hyenas. And they're usually the guys in the hyena world. Well, usually in the vampire world, they're going to be the guys. The funny thing was I didn't figure out the justification for the women being the top dog in the vampire world until I wrote the second book.
And that's when you learned. Wait,
are we keeping this PG or?
I can beep you.
We have the power of the P.
Let's just say it's been brought to. It was power of the P. I heard a good discussion about why the whole idea of the male vampire as a sex object really not making sense because of the whole blood issue.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of would affect certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I figured, you know what? That's going to be an issue for this.
Could be problematic.
Now, for the woman, however, blue she's pills got don't an help edge. With that.
Yeah.
And it works to her advantage. So, yeah, I mean, basically, the guys can't make any vampires in my book. The women can.
Huh. Interesting.
You trying to figure out how that works?
No, I can understand how.
You sure?
Well, yeah.
You looked a little lost. I figured I'd ask.
I will say, as far as the books go, you don't ever see anyone get turned into a vampire. However, I will say in the second book, you get a little better idea of how things might work.
Cool.
Wow, that has to be interesting. It turns you into a Saturday Night Live character doing a Jewish talk show.
What's that special?
Don't know that the church lady's Jewish.
But it's getting there. I know. It's getting there.
Just a little bit of Satan. So...
Wow.
Not gonna do it.
No. So what's gonna be our call-in phrase? If you would like to win a copy of Bill Bloom's latest book, what should be our call-in phrase?
Oh, I think you have a good one, don't you?
Oh, yes. Trunk space. You've got to read the book to find out why the trunk space is important.
And stop doing the bow chicka wow wow music. It's not what you think. It's not what you think at all.
So the 13th caller to 510-GRD-CREW.
So what number is that?
510-GRD-CREW.
No, I'm not going to tell people how they can try to figure... No, I'm not going to do it. I just realized something. Remind me when this is over to tell you something. It's kind of funny. I got to think about that.
Okay.
All right. So, Bill, if people want to get all of your stuff, since they are now so incredibly intrigued by all this, how can they find you? If in Richmond, obviously.
Oh, yes.
You just go down to the store.
Yeah. For me, if you're looking for me at my presence online, though, billbloom.net.
Or have an emergency.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say... If you're in the right jurisdiction, I might get your call.
Okay, yeah. That's
nice. We haven't really talked about my being a 911 dispatcher much, I guess.
Sure, you got 2 minutes,
yeah.
Go for it.
All right, yeah. So yeah, I worked as a 911 dispatcher since 2001. The training academy I was in was the first one after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a very interesting time to get into that job. And I've been doing that ever since. What was really ironic is that I was writing an urban fantasy novel that featured a 911 dispatcher as the main character. I got 40,000 words into it and hated that book. It was a toxic relationship. And so finally, I decided to write this book. I make the dad a 911 dispatcher. I cannot tell you how much my experience as a 911 dispatcher actually informed a Vampire Hunter novel. It was amazing how useful that knowledge was.
And how does that work? Is there a lot of like robberies of garlic and holy items?
No. Actually, it was more of the practical knowledge I needed my main character to have. He's being raised by a single dad who's a 911 dispatcher. So, of course, they're practically going to be like, even though they're father's son, there's going to be a lot more discussion about work with the son because of that. And so a lot of dad's knowledge I can justify passing on to Gideon.
Sweet. Okay. Weird how things all just like go together. Universe.
Like trunk space.
Oh, see what you did there. Crazy. Oh, fantastically. So, anything else people want to say before we wrap this damn thing up?
Nope.
Wow, that summed it up nicely. Hey, Saucy, how you doing in Sparta over there?
I'm not playing anything. I'm listening and being a nice host.
Really? What did she just say?
She said nope.
Before that?
Nope.
Nope.
This is Sparta.
Dun, 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 dun. So fantastic. So there it is. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, 93.0 license. Please come check us out on Facebook, on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Pick up the app, by all means. You'll get your own copy of the damn bell and all that stuff. Again, go get Bill's stuff online. You can do it at
billbloom.net.
And hey, where do you read about all kinds of crazy vampires and vampire hunters?
BillBloom.net.
There it is. Hey, I'm giving you a chance to pimp it. Repetition, and so it sticks with people. Wait, who are you again?
Bill Bloom.
And you have a website called?
BillBloom.net.
Blam, I've trained. It's just that simple. So until next time, you have fun, and we'll see you on the flip side of eternity.
Why am I thirsty?
I'm not sure.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Buckle.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Good night, everybody.
Care to comment, Clark?
Jump in any time, Steve. And congratulations on your new movie. Oh, thanks. And your new trailer looks amazing. Yeah, we're playing catch up to you guys, but we're getting there. Oh, someone call a traffic cop. Someone's speeding towards continuity. Oh, zing. Steve, what the hell are you doing? What, we're just catching up. Yeah, I don't think I've seen you since you were dead. Yeah, that was kind of a crazy time in my life. Or lack thereof. Oh, this guy. Clark, you remember how this works, right? Oh, come on, Bruce. Do we have to fight right now? Everyone's gonna be fighting everyone next year. I'll be fighting you. Tony's fighting Cap. Fox is fighting reality. Everyone's fighting. Can't we just take a minute during the calm before the storm? Well, I suppose all we do have right now is trailers. And I guess we hit most of the big points already.
Hey, but we barely get to say anything.
More than I had in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and did you hear, guys? My movie did okay. I'm not the lowest grossing Marvel movie. I'm not the lowest gross... Oh.
No worries. Hulk have no reason to complain.
Yeah, and I never got to talk about how I got more screen time and a backstory and how I outwitted a stupid speedster. You didn't see that coming? How's it feel to be in a conversation about movies for a change?
Still worth it.
Fine. I'll do it myself. Hey, wait a minute. I was here first.